I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Hey, everybody. Sports Overnight America. You can email us, sportsfred@AO.com, sportsfred@AO.com. Different kind of show. You'll find out why. We're heard on Sirius 217, XM 203. All those apps, American Forces, gals and guys, you stay healthy. We're on Sports Byline, Sports Map. Radio stations like KSHP 1400 in Las Vegas. Mark Mancini's off the world's worst sports handicapper tonight. He's off tonight. Art Sorge from Galaxy Sports is definitely with us. Cousin Andy Barron is with us. He's a trivia expert, and he devised Barron's trivia, which we'll play later. Chris Donnelly has written an interesting book by Nebraska Press, Road to Nowhere, the Early 1990s Collapse and Rebuild by New York City Baseball. We'll talk to Chris about that. Talking baseball, are the Oakland A's the worst team in baseball history? Well, right now, they're on a pace to do worse than the 1962 New York Mets. The Mets win 40 games in 1962, and the A's are on a pace to even worse than that. Do you have any comments? Are they the worst team in baseball history? Email us, sportsfred@AO.com, sportsfred@AO.com. You know, and again, with the A's, everything seems to happen here. We've got a major problem, maybe racism in sports, maybe just a mistake. But Glenn Kuiper, Dwayne Kuiper's brother, has been doing A's games for like two decades. He was fired. They had investigated it for a few weeks, and this week they fire him after 20 years. And he made a comment, he used the N-word. And he said it was just purely by accident. Something just slipped. But I don't know. What do you think? SportsFred@AO.com, SportsFred@AO.com. Let's talk about racism in sports. It obviously exists. Is it worse now than it's ever been? I don't think it's worse than it's ever been, but it's certainly not, it's not gone away. And there are things that are happening almost every day where you say to yourself, oh, my God, did he really say that or did he mean that? Well, it's here with us. Is any NBA coach worth 6 years and $76 million? Monty Williams, about to sign with the Pistons, former Phoenix coach, of course. $76 million. I think the NBA is a players' league more than a coaches' league. I could be wrong. I mean, we'll find out what Monty does with Detroit, but $76 million over 6 years? And it can be $100 million if they reach certain points. So we'll talk about that all straight away on Sports Overnight America.
Wake up, people. You're optimizing every waking hour of your life, from carpooling kids to work to friends and everything in between. You have to get sleep and a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements, learning how you sleep so you learn to sleep better night after night. Sleep next level, only from Sleep Number. Save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. See store for details.
Wendy's Strawberry Frosty is back for the summer. Because if it's summertime, it's frosty time. Beach time? Frosty time. Tea time? Frosty time. Me time? Frosty time. Treat yourself to Wendy's Strawberry Frosty this summer and make time for frosty time. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Now open till midnight or later.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Hours may vary. Staples has everything your business needs all in one place. Shipping supplies and services so you can fill orders from all over in one stop. Plus, professional print and marketing services at your fingertips. And now, during Staples Small Business Deal Days, when rewards members spend $100 or more, they get $20 back in rewards plus another $10 back with the Staples Connect app. And you'll find new deals in store every week on tech, chairs, and shipping supplies. Get everything for your business for less at Staples. Rewards offer ends 5/27. Limit one, redeemable in store only.
I switched to Boost Mobile and got a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone. Want to know the best part?
It was free?
Nope.
The fact that it's on America's largest 5G networks?
Nope. It's the ding.
Oh, yeah. Love the ding.
Right? It's all about the ding. It's the dingarooski, the dingaroner, the ring-a-ding-ding.
Unleash your power to save with Boost. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone when you switch. Boost Mobile. Unleash your power.
And the ding.
Limited time offer. New customers only. Available on select networks. 5G not available everywhere. One device per line. Tax excluded. Additional restrictions apply. See your local Boost Mobile store for details.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avens, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down, and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com, and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing that you need. Go to ripgrippro.com. That's ripgrippro.com.
This is Ron Barr. Be sure to check out Sports Byline and the 8 Side Network's outstanding 8-part podcast series, Behind the Barrier, Voices from the Negro Leagues. Hear Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and others share their stories of the Negro Leagues, the challenges that the players face, and the importance of Negro League baseball to the game's history. Behind the Barrier is available now on the iHeart Podcast Network and all podcast platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, and Pandora. Check out Behind the Barrier.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Sports Overnight America. I am Fred. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com. Mark Mancini, the World's Worst Sports Handicapper, not with us this evening. Art Source, Galaxy Sports, definitely is. Cousin Andy Barron definitely is. And later we'll be talking to Chris Donnelly. Interesting book, Road to Nowhere, the early 1990s collapse and rebuild of New York City baseball. And you ought to pick up the book. But first of all, got to ask you guys a question. Are the Oakland A's the worst team in baseball history? Art, you go first.
I kind of think they might be. I mean, I've been watching what's going on in Las Vegas with Dave Cavall, their president. You know, even if they do leave Oakland to go to Las Vegas, they're going to owe the Alameda County $15 million a year for the next 4 years. The president, I mean, the owner of the team doesn't seem to really care about winning, you know, so I wonder about that. Then you throw the Glenn Kuiper situation into the whole mix, you know, when he goes to the Kansas City Black Sports Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame. And, you know, I listened to that tape 4 or 5 times, Fred, and I think he got caught up in his wording. I think he wanted to call it the Negro Hall of Fame, and I think that's where it kind of came apart on him. I just, you know, I wonder – I mean, the 62 Mets went 40 and 122, and this ball club, I mean, they did find themselves a power-hitting first baseman amidst all this disaster, but that's about it.
Cousin Andy Barron, you're younger. The teams you've seen, is this the worst team you've ever seen?
You know, it's hard to say. I don't know that I've seen anyone worse, so I guess the answer is probably they're about at the bottom. You know, I don't know, you know, I don't hear great things about their system either. So I don't know that they're going to pull things together really quickly. And, you know, if they're not going to make trades or try to make something happen, it seems like it's going to be an awful long season for those guys.
Did they make the right decision with Glenn Kuiper, in your opinion?
You know what? I think time's going to tell. I'm not prepared to answer that one yet.
I heard he's going to do games with Tom Brenneman.
No, it's interesting because in my head, what comes out is what's in your heart.
Right.
And the point is, I'm not about to hire Mel Gibson, no matter how many times he apologizes. All right.
What about Sloane Stephens? Do you think she has something? I mean, that article the other day, the USA Today, Fred, I mean, that touched on exactly what we've been talking about for a long time.
It just, yeah, you always have to wait and see how people like react to these situations, right? And whether there's a way to come back from it or not. And sometimes there has been, other times there hasn't. Really, I think it depends on the person, right? And what are they going to do next? And that's when I don't know him well enough.
So the
to
proof
know
the proof is
go.
In the pudding. Yeah, you're saying, Andy. Yeah.
You just don't. I just don't know where he's at and you know what his next move is going to be, because there's different way directions to go, and that's going to be telling.
A lot of people say he's a hell of a nice guy, so I don't know. It's real hard for me to make a judgment.
But the point is, who's going to hire him? If you touch him, then people are going to go after you. If you don't touch him, people are going to go after you. Meanwhile, he's going to be unemployed after years.
But he's unemployed, but I think he's going to have a voice, and it's up to him whether he wants to try to fix this and how he's going to try to fix this and what he's going to do. You don't have to get hired to get, you know, your message out there.
Okay. Hey, we're talking anything in sports, folks. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com, sportsfred@aol.com. Monty Williams, the new coach, Detroit Pistons, 6 years, $76 million, which can be $100 million. Art Source, I think the NBA is a players' league. I don't think any coach in the NBA, Pat Riley, when he was with, I just don't think any coach is worth $76 million. It's not my money. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I'd hate to think what Red Auerbach would be worth now or some of those guys. But bottom line is, I agree with you. I mean, he had a 3-year window in Phoenix to do really, really well. And he got him to the finals once. $76 million is a bit exorbitant. You know, but the NFL and the NBA and a lot of these leagues, you see regurgitation going around. I mean, once you're in that inside network, one of my coaches at the University of Southern California, Norv Turner, got a myriad of opportunities. And really, he was never a great head coach. He was an excellent offensive coordinator. And I'm not saying that Monty Williams doesn't deserve it. The players love him. He seems to have a great way with things. I'm really interested to see what happens to Doc Rivers. If Doc Rivers is in the hunt for the Phoenix job or where he winds up. Because I think Doc does a great job of building a great culture. But in the X's and O's of a big game, game sevens, game fives in the NBA, you know, his record is abysmal. And so you wonder, you know, at a certain point in time, if some new blood, some injection of new blood would do well for the NBA. But like most pro leagues, it seems like they go with the proven commodity, even if he has a couple of awards.
Andy Barron, question. You're a Celtic fan. Jaylen Brown played as badly as I've ever seen him play. I saw him at Cal, seen him in the NBA. I don't know his relationship really with Tatum. What about the future of Jaylen Brown? There are people saying the Celtics should deal him. I don't think so. I think the two together, I mean, everybody can have a bad game. And again, I thought the Celtics would win that game after coming back from 3-0 against Miami. But the future of Jaylen Brown in Boston, Andy Barron.
Yeah, you know, I think he's going to stay. And I'm with you. Anyone can have a bad game. The problem was that everyone had a bad game at the same time, right? It was one of them. It's okay for one guy to have a bad game. You can't have everybody having a bad game. No. But, you know, they've shown glimpses of working really, really well together. They're both extremely talented. I don't know what you'd get for him in return. That anything you got would be an unknown coming in to play with another superstar, right? Where, you know, these guys are big boys. They got to figure it out. They've been so close now a couple of years in a row. They got to figure it out. There's nothing preventing the Celtics from winning this championship except for the Celtics.
Okay, my point is not the other teams that are preventing them. I agree with you, Andy. My point is, how can you look so good as Jason Tatum looks in some key situations? And I know that he hurt his ankle in game 7, and that was part of it. But even at home, the previous game before that, he didn't play very, very well either. But to see a guy have that kind of incredible Michael Jordan-like ability in one game, and then the next game kind of like, you know, where's Waldo? Is he disappearing? And what happened?
Yeah, I don't get it. With him, sometimes it's not even just a bad game, but he had, I don't remember if it was game 2 or game 3, where he was actually having a pretty good game and then decided not to show up for the fourth quarter and had 0 points in the fourth quarter. And you know, it's, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And that's why, again, I say that, you know, on paper, these guys should win the championship, but they don't play the games on paper. They play them in the game, you know, in the stadium. And these guys are the only ones preventing them. And I think at some point they just have to get together and say, like, let's get rid of the noise and let's figure out what the problem is. Let's solve it and let's go win a couple championships.
All right, let's talk about a problem. Andy, you haven't been with us for a couple of months. I don't like Kyrie Irving. I don't like anything about Kyrie Irving, okay?
Yeah.
Do you think the Lakers will end up Irving and with LeBron going to management saying, hey, with him, we'd have won the whole thing? What do you think from 3,000 miles away?
I mean, LeBron has the biggest voice in the league still, even though he's not the best player anymore. He's clearly the guy pulling the shots. I mean, he's the general manager of that team. whether he has the title or not, he is, right? So, I don't know if he's going to say that or not, but I can see that as a possibility, coming from him for sure.
Artie, what do you think?
I don't know. I'm still not a flat worlder, so I just think the guy's a cancer, Fred. I mean, he might be a nice guy. You know, you throw the racist action in there and along with, you know, the way he plays the game. Are there enough basketballs on the court for the three of those big guys to compete? I say you go with the young guys that are coming along, your Reeves, your Hashimoto's. You know, those guys stepped up in the playoffs. I don't think a lot of people thought the Lakers would get to the Western Conference semifinals. And, I got to say one thing. I've watched Jokic play before, but I never realized what an incredible quarterback he is on the basketball court. I mean, this guy delivers passes. He can shoot. I mean, yes, he has the same leap I have, you know, a MasterCard leap. But the guy is one heck of a basketball player.
You know what? He's not exciting. He's not exciting, yeah. But he might be the best player in the league. I mean, he very well could be.
And I questioned why he won two MVPs, and I've seen him in the last seven games. And I'm like, I guess if you watch his body of work for an entire 82-game season, you go, wow.
All right, we're going to come back and play some Barron Sports Trivia with Andy Barron. Cousin Andy Barron, an art source, and yours truly. You can email us at sportsforanadeo.com. Back with more right after.
If your loved one has passed away due to COVID-19, pay close attention to this message. You could be entitled to a death benefit of over $300,000. The U.S. government has set up a fund to pay families relief if they've lost a loved one due to COVID-19. We know this is a hard time for you, and this fund has been set up by the federal government to help ease your pain. The compensation includes a death benefit and lost wages benefit. Time is limited, so we urge you to make a free phone call right now. There's no cost to you for this claim. All legal fees are only covered once you receive your money. So if you've lost a loved one due to COVID-19, call the legal helpline right now to find out if you qualify for a cash award. Here's our number. 800-918-4086. 800-918-4086. 800-918-4086. That's 800-918-4086. Paid for by the IPG Law Group.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Overnight America. Later, we'll be talking to Chris Donnelly, author of Road to Nowhere, the early 1990s collapse and rebuild of New York City baseball, Nebraska Press, major bookstores everywhere, and some incisive stuff in this book, no question about that. Talking about incisive stuff, we're going to play some Barron Sports trivia, as I started playing with my cousins Andy and Lisa months ago, and we're playing it on the show ever since. Art's 126 years of age. So to stay up late at night and answer these questions, and you've been doing very well recently, what are you taking this time when we do this show, Art? What are you taking right now?
Well, I've got some nootropics that I like. One of them is called Awaken because we are a late night, all night long radio show. So that helps me. I came out with a new one from Focus Factor called Pro Focus, which I really like. It gets the focus laser beam like. So that's a good one. But I've got about seven or eight of them. They're going to send me to the poor farm eventually because none of them are cheap, but they seem to be working, and that's all I can say.
All right, let's play some Barron Sports Trivia with Andy Barron first. All right, Andy, the black baseball team, when they weren't allowed for most of that time to play in the major leagues, that black baseball team in Kansas City, what was the nickname of that black baseball team?
The nickname? I mean, I know the name of the team was the Kansas City Monarchs.
That's okay. That's it. I said wrong. I'm not gonna.
Oh, I know if there was a nickname beyond that. Okay.
It was the Monarchs. How did you know that? Most people would not.
Because in my spare time, I read a lot about baseball history, a lot about the Negro League history as well. I used to, as you know, collect baseball cards. I collected Negro League baseball cards. They weren't actually cards in the United States, but all these players used to go play in Cuba and in Puerto Rico in the off season, and companies, tobacco companies, whatnot, made cards of them in the 20s, 30s, 40s. So I actually helped discover some of those cards and bring them to the market. Awesome. Sold them too early because now they're worth a lot more than I got for them. But I've always enjoyed that and have read up on it. I've been to the Negro League Hall of Fame in Kansas City. It was a great day, and I love everything about that sport. So
Josh Gibson, Satchel Paige, really good players.
Yeah. Oscar Charleston.
Andy, let me ask you a question. You mentioned sports collectibles. We lose Jim Brown a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
Does his card value automatically go up or just his autograph cards automatically go up?
So his card value goes up short term for sure. And then plateaus again, may come down. Autographs definitely go up as well. He's an interesting one, though, because, you know, he had a life after football, right? So he's a pretty prolific signer. So an autograph of Jim Brown isn't necessarily hard to come by. So even though he's gone and not signing any longer, if you're a collector and you want a Jim Brown autograph, you go on eBay and there's plenty of them to be had. So he's one of those players that I don't think there's going to be a big impact of his passing on either of his collectors.
And the opposite of that being a guy like Barry Bonds who doesn't sign anything, right?
Exactly. And when they're gone, then you know there's no more coming to the market. So that's when the prices jump.
All right. Art Source, go back to Barron Sports Trivia. In 1949, we actually had the first time that black players played in the All-Star game in 1949 at Ebbets Field. Art, you were just a mere child then, but maybe you were there. Name some of the players. There are four players, four All-Stars in 1949. Art, name as many as you can.
Well, I know Jackie Robinson would be number one. Then we'd go with Larry Doby. 49. Who can I come up with? Was there anybody else? Andy, you can step in any time here if you can remember sure. any of these guys.
I'm guessing maybe Satchel Paige.
Oh, I like that. That could be a good one too. Was Willie? See. When did Willie? Willie Mays came up in 51, right?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then he had to go in the Army for a couple of years.
Right. He, right.
Yeah. Roy Campanella.
Ooh.
Okay. So okay. So far you've got three right. Not going to tell you which one is wrong, but so far you've gotten three right. There's actually four.
Give us a hint on the fourth one.
Pitcher.
Ooh.
Another pitcher.
And not Satchel Paige.
Was it the hard throwing right hander for the Dodgers, Don Newcomb?
Don Newcomb was the fourth member of the All Star game in 1949.
Thank you for
having Jim. Very good. Okay. All right, this one, I know Andy will get this, but we'll
so was
see.
It was Roy Campanella one of them? Is that?
Yeah, oh, yeah, Roy Campanella. Okay.
It's a Larry great Bogey, question, yeah. by the way, Fred.
Who struck out, this would be for Andy, and I'm sure Andy will get it. Who struck out five consecutive hitters in the 34 All-Star game? Who might that have been?
The 34 All-Star game? I don't know this for sure, but I'm going to take a guess that it was... 34.
Could it have been Lefty?
Has either Lefty Grove or Dizzy Dean? So I'm guessing.
Okay, let me give guys a hint. Was at the Polo Grounds. That doesn't really matter, but just in case.
In case the Giants were the guy. Oh boy.
And yeah, it was a lefty. It wasn't Lefty Grove.
It wasn't Lefty, but it was. Oh, okay. Warren Spahn.
No, he wasn't around yet.
He was 4 years old. That's right.
He was good as a kid,
Fred.
He was really good as a kid, yeah.
Wasn't that crazy left-hander from Cincinnati, Johnny Vandermeer or somebody like that?
Two consecutive no-hitters, but no, wasn't Johnny Vandermeer. He was a Giant. And they played at the Polo Grounds.
Carl Hubble?
Carl Hubble. Five consecutive strikeouts. Let me list these guys.
That left elbow was bizarre. If you ever saw the pictures of his left elbow from throwing the scourgy. I mean, his left elbow was really weird looking.
You guys ready? Who he struck out? Secondly? Babe Ruth.
He was old. He was kind of old at that point.
Lefty on lefty.
Lou Gehrig. Jimmy Fox.
Woo!
Al Simmons and Joe Cronin. You can't.
All Hall of Famers.
Yeah, 2,000 home runs between the five of them.
Two Red Sox, too.
You can't do much better than that. All right. Final Barron Sports Trivia for this program right here on Sports Overnight America. This one is for Art Source. The movie 42 came out in 10 years ago, 2013. Who played Branch Rickey, Art Source?
Harrison Ford.
Why do you say Harrison Ford?
Because I thought he did a good job.
Now, Art just says Harrison Ford. Andy Barron, was it Harrison Ford?
It was Harrison Ford.
I don't think he won the Academy. I think he should have won. I think
right.
I thought he looked like, I mean, they made... They
with
made
the glasses,
him look
and, yeah. And by the way, Fred, in history of baseball, you know, and there's been a lot of great general managers and people, but I don't think anybody did what Branch Rickey did as a front office executive as well as he did in his career. I don't think he gets credit for a lot of the stuff that he accomplished in his career.
Now, as a Dodger fan, even though I'm wearing a Giant suit here, Fred. As a Dodger fan, he stole Roberto Clemente from the Dodgers for the Pittsburgh Pirates when he was over there. How do you feel about that, Art Source?
Boy, I tell you what, talk about an all-around baseball player with all five tools. He knew how much talent Roberto had, and God only knows. I mean, a lot of people don't even know that Branch Rickey went to the Pirates, you know, but was with the Cardinals prior to coming to the Dodgers. But I can see why that would get in your craw a little bit, because that's one heck of a baseball player. Still revered here in the state of Pennsylvania, by the way.
Cousin Andy Barron, yeah, again, you were just a mere child, so you never saw.
No, I was I was 1 year old when he passed away. So yeah.
But what have you read about him? What have you heard about the talents of Roberto Clemente?
Yeah, so you know, a cannon of an arm, you know, 300 hitter, had some power when he needed it, fast on the base paths, and but more importantly, the humanitarian part of him. That he, I mean, think about how he passed. He was passed away helping people, and not just writing a check to help people, but actually going out and helping people himself. So
well, the great story, Andy, that one of the Pirate broadcasters currently who had a great career with him, his dad was going to go on the flight with him.
Oh wow!
You know, to do this, and he told him, "Please don't go." And then you know the child was born afterward, and great story. But I got to tell you. He was a hypochondriac. He always had a crick in his neck. I don't know if you recall this, Fred, but he was always like, you know, little out of sorts with his back and his shoulders. And can you imagine if he'd have been all the way healthy all those years, what he'd have done?
No, to me, you know, at the same time, you've got Aaron, Clemente, and Mays playing for the National
Dykes
League.
Dykes outfield.
You know, not a bad outfield whatsoever. Just tremendous, and was
made
so
those All-Star games in those years so incredible. Though I mean, I remember waiting for the 71 All-Star game in my Little League uniform. Okay, and I watched Reggie Jackson hit the transformer on top of Old Tiger Stadium, and then Hank Aaron taking an inside out, you know, swing and hitting a high fly ball to right field to take advantage of the win. I mean, it was just the most incredible, incredible ball game. And those All-Star games, to me, as a 12, 13, 14-year-older, bring back incredible memories, incredible memories.
All right, we're going to come back and talk about the book, Road to Nowhere, written by Chris Donnelly.
Is that my life story, Fred?
And we'll come back with the guys, and we'll play that. We'll play some... We have played some Barron Sports Trivia. Both did very, very well here. We'll come back with more on Sports Overnight America. Right.
Dazzling decal on Daisy's Donuts window. Bold banner at Barry's Barbershop. Prominent poster at Penny's on Park Place.
This is your sign. Well, signs. To try Staples and see the difference. Get $15 off signs, banners, and posters when you spend $75 or more.
From Staples, and I couldn't miss it.
N617. Visit staplesconnect.com/printbig for details.
Next up, straight talk from Doug.
Ever notice that saying no offense is offensive? Like, no offense, but you're overpaying for your wireless. See? Offensive.
That's the Straight Talk talking. Get unlimited plans as low as $35 a month from Straight Talk on America's most reliable 5G network. Available at Walmart and Walmart.com. On the $35 plan, first 10 gigabytes data at high speed, then 2G speeds. Refer to the latest terms at StraightTalk.com. Based on most first place rankings, root metrics, second half 2022 assessments of 125 metros. Experiences vary, not an endorsement.
This is Ron Barr. I've got a great suggestion for you. Father's Day is coming up, and if you really want to give him something I know he'll like, give him the Omaha Steaks Dad's Want Steaks package. I guarantee he'll say, wow, this is great. Your dad doesn't need another electronic gadget. Just visit omahasteaks.com, type in sports in the search bar, and order the Dad's Want Steaks package, and also get $30 off. Your gift package includes smoky tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons, boneless pork chops, gourmet jumbo franks, and boneless chicken breasts. And for a sweet finish, you'll get delicious caramel apple tarts. Trust me, I've had them all. And your dad will love them too, and it's a Father's Day gift you and your dad will always remember. From experience, I can tell you, Omaha Steaks isn't just steak. It's the best steak of your life, guaranteed. So surprise your dad with something both of you can enjoy and never forget. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword sports. It's the ultimate Father's Day gift.
Collectible Exchange is the most trusted sports memorabilia company in the country, carrying game-used, autographed, and other one-of-a-kind items. Founded by collecting icon Brandon Steiner from Steiner Sports, they can also help you evaluate, authenticate, and sell your sports collectibles. Check out CollectibleExchange.com and use code RADIO20 for 20% off between now and Father's Day. With over 150,000 items and over 80 pro and college athletes selling directly to you, that's code RADIO20 at CollectibleExchange.com.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Overnight America, and... We're here to talk about anything you want to talk about. You can email us at sportsfred@AOL.com, sportsfred@AOL.com. So if you do a talk show long enough, you're going to say some things that don't necessarily come true. And I once said on the Kings postgame show that there's no chance of Wayne Gretzky ever becoming a member of the LA Kings, which is pretty bad if you say that. And it happened, of course, a few years. A little bit later, as Peter Pocklington needed some dough, and so he made the deal. I also said there's no shot on earth of Wade Boggs ever playing for the New York Yankees. having done Dodger talk, I knew a lot of people pretty high up in the Dodger chain, and they said, "Oh no, he's coming here. We've got Wade Boggs." Speaking about that, brand new book out, Road to Nowhere: The Early 1990s Collapse and Rebuild of New York City Baseball by Chris Donnelly. Chris now with us. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. And Fred, if you want to say that there's no chance that the Devils will ever win the Stanley Cup again, as a Devils fan, I'd like you to do that now, please.
I mean, right, kiss of luck.
yeah.
So let's go back 30 years. And Chris, you're young, but... let's go back 30 years and Wade Boggs, lifetime Red Sox. And I got Dodger people in pretty high up saying he's coming to us. We got him. And then he went on to have three or four or five good years with the Yankees. Yeah. Talk about that, because it was so mixed up at that point. So confusing.
Yeah. So just for a little background on what happened there, the Yankees had a third baseman in Charlie Hayes in 1992. And he was actually the first solid third baseman they'd had in a few years. And they left him unprotected in that year's expansion draft when the Marlins and Rockies were coming in, which was kind of surprising because they didn't think anybody would take him, which was surprising because Hayes was a really good defensive guy and put up good numbers that year. And sure enough, he went almost immediately in the draft, and the Yankees had no backup plan for third base. They were totally unprepared for it. And they didn't want Wade Boggs at first. I think your audience might remember. I mean, Boggs wasn't necessarily the most popular guy in the Red Sox clubhouse. You know, the whole Margo Adams thing, I think, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, just in terms of how it took attention off the team. And so Gene Michael didn't want him and basically said they weren't going to sign him. And the Dodgers made Boggs an offer. And then the Yankees, Tampa contingent, the Yankees were basically ruled in two cities, New York City, where Buck and Gene Michael were, and Tampa, where all of Steinbrenner's, even though he was banished at the time, where all of Steinbrenner's people were. And that's who wanted Boggs, because Boggs was a Tampa guy. And so they came in and made this offer and took him away from the Dodgers. And just to tell you how little I think people in the Yankees thought of that signing at the time, a lot of folks didn't actually say anything when Boggs was signed. And they were really worried that it wasn't going to work out. And he hits 300 for the next few seasons and, of course, rides the horse. And it's really one of the more, I think people think it was a given signing back then, and it wasn't.
Talking to Chris Donnelly, the book is Road to Nowhere, Nebraska Press, major bookstores everywhere. Art, I know you're a Yankee fan, or were a Yankee fan. What do you think about Wade Boggs becoming a Yankee 30 years ago? Would you have bet on that?
No, never. Not in a million years, because that was the rivalry in the AL East in those days, and it was something really special. I mean, you'll go back to 1978. You know, when they're playing in Fenway Park and the Bucky Dent home run. But I got something interesting out of that, Chris. Charlie Hayes, who winds up going to the Rockies, playing in the old, the old stadium there, Mile High Stadium, you know, with Galarraga and Dante Bichette and hitting home runs. And he winds up having about four or five good years. And then the Braves send a guy over from their franchise. And, you know, the Rockies opened the new stadium, and now you look at the Pittsburgh Pirates. His son is now the starting third baseman for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So I get a kick out of that. Now, the other Red Sox I remember who made that move later on was Johnny Damon, okay, as we went along. So there seems to have been, you know, my dad always argued that if Joe DiMaggio had played in Fenway Park or Ted Williams had played at Yankee Stadium, they would have hit 700 or more home runs. I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I mean, and I think you guys are aware of the potential trade straight up for them that was made one night, supposedly over many, many drinks, and that was then canceled the next morning.
Shores, yeah.
It's to think about if that had actually gone through and how that could, of course, change the course of history. I mean, look, the easy answer to say is we'll never know, but to imagine Joe D hitting off the Green Monster, right, and Ted Williams. Look, Fenway is 302 down the right field line, right? But then it curves way, way out. So to imagine him hitting 314 and essentially what is 340 for the next 40 or 50 feet down a Yankee Stadium line, 700, who knows? But I think we would have seen astronomical numbers from both of them, assuming they had stayed healthy if that had happened.
Book is Road to Nowhere, most interesting indeed. The early 1990s collapse and rebuild of New York City baseball by Chris Donnelly. Chris with us. Cousin Andy Barrett, you're a Red Sox fan. Did you like George Steinbrenner?
Well, before I answer that question, I did want to answer the last topic where, funny enough, I actually kind of expected Boggs to end up in New York. As a Red Sox fan, it felt like all of our best players ended up in Yankee uniforms. You know, and you mentioned Damon. Clemens eventually ended up there. Even as a kid, I remember Louis Tiant ending up with the Yankees, right? Yeah. So it just seemed like it always worked out that way. And for me, what I always just wished was just once could we get one of these great Yankee stars to end up on the Red Sox team, and it really never happened. So for that reason and many others, I'm not a George Steinbrenner fan.
Talking to Chris Donnelly, author of Road to Nowhere. No, in this book, it's something that I did not know. I think I read a lot, but I had never read this before. Mariano Rivera was actually he could have been taken in the expansion draft in 92. The Yankees did not lock him up. I was totally shocked when I read that. Talk about that.
Yeah, one of the themes in the book that I really try to hammer home is how I don't want to take credit away from Gene Michael and the organization for everything they did in the 90s, because they deserve a lot of credit. But with any dynasty, you need luck. With even a single championship, you need luck to help you get there. And everything fell the Yankees' way in the 1990s. And one of those things is Mariano Rivera in multiple ways. In that same expansion draft where Hayes was selected, the Yankees got incredibly lucky because they left Rivera vulnerable because he wasn't. People didn't know him as Mariano that we know him now. Back then, he had just come off surgery. He was considered really high risk. He did not throw hard at the time. He probably topped out at about 90, 91 at the time. He just had good movement, which is why there was hope. And they didn't select him. He stays with the Yankees. And just real quickly, in another instance, they got lucky. The Yankees were going to trade Mariano in 1995. He had come up as a starting pitcher, and he had pretty much gotten rocked in every outing. And in June, they were going to trade him to Detroit for David Wells. The deal was essentially done. And Mariano was pitching in AAA, and all of a sudden, his fastball gains 5 miles an hour, and now he's throwing in the mid-90s. So, and he throws a no-hitter, a shortened no-hitter in the minor leagues. Gene Michael gets the scouting report, sees how fast he's throwing. He doesn't believe it. He calls people up who are at the game, doesn't want to let on why he's calling. And in the course of conversation, he learns, yes, Mariano has actually miraculously gained this speed. And he immediately calls, cancels the deal. They call up Mariano. He starts against the White Sox on July 4th, strikes out 11 in 8 innings. And history is completely changed. They were going to trade him again in 1996 for Felix Fermin because they didn't think Derek Jeter was going to work out. So that's three separate instances where the Yankees could have lost Mariano Rivera. Each and a move worse than the next one. And it didn't happen. And that's just part of, in addition to the skill that they exhibited in acquiring players, it's part of the luck they had throughout the 90s.
Chris, you mentioned Derek Jeter. And as the captain of those great Yankee teams that you write about, he was unparalleled in his leadership and things of that nature. When the Mets kind of fell off the map after 86, 87, and I conjure a lot of that up to off the field activities. We're going to leave it at that. They had a great nucleus when they had Strawberry and they had Carter behind the plate. You know, they had Dwight Gooden on the mound. they had some great things going. Davey Johnson in the dugout. What happened with that team? I know Dykstra had his problems. Did they just seem to come apart?
Yeah, it was really a combination of things, but the main one being the things that made that 86 team so great and has really mythologized them in the New York and the tri-state area, right, is the partying, right, and their attitude, and nobody's going to beat us and screw you, and right, and that whole, the group they had, the Scum Bunch, who, right, just, they drank and they did drugs and they played tricks on people and were merciless in their jokes. All the things that were endearing in 86, really the team leadership, Frank Cash and his GM, didn't love about the team. And so they slowly began dismantling those pieces, right? Starting with Kevin Mitchell, who Frank Cash thought was a bad influence on Gooden and Strawberry, when that wasn't true at all. And then it was Ray Knight, right? And it was from 87 to 1990, there's a drip, drip, drip of getting rid of 86 players. Because they didn't want that in the Mets organization. But then you end up with trades like Lenny Dykstra and Roger McDowell for Juan Samuel, which is legendary among Mets fans for how bad it was. And Juan Samuel was a good player, was terrible for the Mets. Right? And Dykstra went on, was still a great player. McDowell was still a quality reliever. So it was just that. And they, yes, they had some injuries in the 80s, which didn't help either. But really, it was that the idea that the team that won it all wasn't the team that they really wanted is probably why a Mets dynasty never happened.
I agree.
Chris Dana, let me throw something modern day, sure. 2023. Would you have signed two veteran pitchers, even though they're both going to the Hall of Fame, at $43 million apiece? I'm talking, of course, Scherzer and Verlander.
Where would you change for Cohen?
I think that's part of it. Cohen came in, right, and there's a lot of hope riding on him with Mets fans, but that leash is very short in New York. He's not going to have forever to make things happen, and I think they're big names, they're quality pitchers, they're Hall of Famers. And I think his intention was to make a splash and to sort of regenerate some of that 80s Mets attitude, right? In that we will dominate you and run over you. And it isn't working that way so far, but there's still a lot of time left in the season. So, I mean, look, who knows how it plays out, but I do think you have to give him credit in the sense that he was trying to make something happen quickly. Because it has been so long that Mets fans have really, truly gotten to enjoy prolonged success, much less a world championship.
If I'm not mistaken right now, the last 6-7 games, the Mets have played some pretty good baseball. Scherzer looked great on the mound the other night. Is Verlander starting to come around? I mean, I haven't heard much on his health, on, you know, where he is in terms of being prepared to you know, finish the season.
I'm not sure on that. Okay. But you know, as you said, Scherzer, right? I mean, the Mets are still a good team. There's still time here. There's still time, right? It's early June, and they could turn things around, right? The only issue is how good the Braves are. So,
what made you write this book? What came to you that said this is a book that I have to write? Because I mean, I think outside of New York, maybe a lot of people didn't realize what was going on with the Mets and the Yankees. They knew much of the Steinbrenner bit, but what made you think of this, or how did you think of this book?
So my first book was about the 95 division series between the Yankees and the Mariners, and which is the first time I saw the Yankees in the postseason. And as I was researching that and learning more about the really chaotic nature of the Yankees in the 80s, I found all that interesting and fascinating. I'm somewhat odd in that I find the non-championship, chaotic, disastrous teams more interesting than the championship teams. And so I started researching the Yankees, and then I also found it interesting that the Mets were really New York's team. And so I wrote, my previous book was about the 85 season, which is really where the Mets take over New York officially.
Thank you very much for appearing on Sports Overnight America. The book is Road to Nowhere, folks. Some insight that you need to read. the early 1990s, collapse and rebuild by New York City baseball, Chris Donnelly, Nebraska Press, major bookstores everywhere. Back with more on Sports Overnight America.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, face the facts. You made a mistake. You made a bad purchase. A timeshare is not an investment. It's a money pit that continues forever. If you use your timeshare, that's great. But if you don't and you want to legally get out of your contract, call my friends right now at the Timeshare Exit Hotline. They're an experienced team of lawyers who help good people like you get out of a timeshare contract that they just don't want. Don't throw away your money on maintenance fees. Use it for things you really want. We can help you end your timeshare contract and stop the money drain immediately. If you're ready to move on with your timeshare, call our team right now.
Cancel your timeshare now with a free call. 800-824-5131. 800-824-5131. 800-824-5131. That's 800-824-5131.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Overnight America. I'd like to thank Chris Donnelly. Book is Road to Nowhere, the early 1990s collapse and rebuild by New York City baseball. We're here with Art Source and cousin Andy Barron. Andy, I discovered on Facebook that your daughter is a DJ in college.
Yes.
You should know better than to lead her into radio. Your thoughts?
So it's funny. She's always loved music. You know, she's minoring in music in college. And she wanted to try out to do this radio DJ thing. The good news is because of, you know, it's too far for me to hear it on the radio, but they do it online. So I'm able to listen to her when she does her show. She's far better than I am. She's fantastic. She's doing like all different radio shows, different types of music genres. And then she loves it so much. And what I had posted about was that after her freshman year, and actually only being a DJ for the second, you know, her second semester of her freshman year, they've made her the online training head for future DJs at Stony Brook University. So she's heavily involved. I don't know if she's gonna make a career out of it, but I think like myself, maybe she'll do a little moonlighting and have some fun with it. And in the meantime, she'll do it through college. And I love it because I get to listen to it.
Now, Art Source, you've been in radio a long, long, long time.
Would you, me and Marconi, go way back?
Would you advise Andy to have his daughter become something in radio, because it's a rough business?
Well, she's better looking than all of us combined, so I mean, you know, maybe television would be a better way to go monetarily. But I'll tell you one thing: having a face made for radio, I'll tell you, I started at the local KUSC station and KSCR and did Trojan baseball. And, you know, I got to tell you, I love it. I absolutely love it. And, you know, you got to do what you love in life. A lot of people don't understand that. But my dad told me if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
I like that. I like what your dad said. All right. For Cousin Andy Barrett, for Art Source, for Mario, Mark will be back next week. I am Fred. Stay tuned all night long for more of Sports Overnight America.